all the world's a stage, and I never forget my passport.
I may be anti-gun, but I'm a real straight shooter.
With a voice for audio. That was like really well delivered. I'm extremely here for it. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode, I don't know, and AG 500 something.
Leave Woo! Me alone.
I know. And for, so not every episode, because once AG started, when it was first created hundreds of years ago, we didn't start the episodes with taglines. But at some point early on, we did. So I have done probably 400-something taglines. So at this point, like, I recorded 3 episodes yesterday. And by the 3rd episode, I was Zooming with someone. And I truly just stared at the screen. I was like, I just can't do it. I just can't do anything. It's so bad what I have. The options are not great.
Is
left
it
in my brain.
Is it crazy that, like, I said my tagline, and in the back of my like back brain, I was like,
that means, you know, you're in a spiritual that, place.
That means it's working.
Yes, it it's really working. Does. It really does. Listen, so will this episode. I'm so excited to have, I'm going to call him a return guest, because you cameoed in your wife, Annalee Ashford's previous episode, which I was extremely into. So welcome back.
Thank
to
you.
Andy's Girls, actor Joe Tapper, starring in The White Chip, which is playing through March 9th at the Susan, and this is going to roll off the tongue, Susan and Ronald Frankel Theater at the Robert W. Wilson MCC Theater Space. Welcome back to AG. First time in the Clawfest.
Yes.
Welcome
oh,
back.
And wow, is this so incredible. If you can't see it, it is, which you can't, because this is,
but an audio
it
podcast.
Is, science tells us you can't. But this is just, wow, what an amazing
Isn't
place.
Isn't it cool? Oh. And my aunt Ida is an incredible watercolor painter.
It's
so
fabulous.
She gave me this forever ago. So the cool thing, and shout out to Studio Piccolo, who designed it, but the cool thing about the Clawfest is, like,
cool,
it's just so many different parts of my life that I've just had for forever, but have had no home. So
yeah,
now it's in this space that Tori beautifully designed, and it's just like, it's a place for healing. It
yes,
really is. It's a place for healing and shoes.
And healing in shoes, and shoes heal.
They do heal.
And I am looking at this Broadway poster of the show Jackie.
Yes,
which we just discussed is like fluky, because it was like the second Broadway show I've ever seen in 1997 when we came. My mom and I came out here to New York for the first time from Illinois. That's where I'm from, Illinois.
Oh,
I had to have, like, I was auditioning for acting programs and stuff like that.
So yeah,
I came to New York for like Syracuse and, you know, all the places. And we went, you know, TKTS and,
sure,
and of course the first Broadway show we saw was Les Mis.
Was
it? Oh, it had to be Les Mis. On my own. And then the second one, we were like, well, what are we going to do? And we, of course, went to see a Broadway show, and we saw Jackie. And there you have it. It's right there.
It is. Do you have plans to see Ariana in Chicago? Do you watch Vanderpump Rules?
I do watch Vanderpump Rules. Oh, do I have plans to see her?
Yeah.
I don't have plans.
Sorry, not Chicago. You're from Illinois.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But not Chicago, a place where, you know, people go to nosh, but Chicago, a place where Roxy does some
Roxy,
stuff.
The name is on everybody's
right,
lips. I don't have plans.
Okay.
I mean, I would say I've never seen that show.
You haven't?
No, I this is always surprising to people. I know nothing really about musical theater at all, except
okay,
for like the privileged shows I get to see my wife in.
Okay.
Or I go with her to see things.
Yeah.
So I've gotten to see like an amazing things and a lot of amazing things she's been in. But I really like don't know a lot. I've never seen Chicago. I never saw Cats. I never saw Phantom. I've like never seen
the big ones, the Holy Trinity.
I've never seen the big ones, but I did see Les Mis. Yes. So I don't have plans, but I would be interested.
Yeah. I've heard.
She's extending. Did you hear
I
that?
No, yeah. She's like killing the box office right now.
I know. I know. I walk past it every day.
Do you?
I walk past that theater to get to MCC. Yeah.
Do you ever see? Well, no, the timing wouldn't meet up with like seeing people after the hordes of fans losing their shit. Myself included, once I inevitably go.
I don't think I I think because my show is 90 minutes that and that show's 3 hours.
Is it?
Isn't it?
It's been a while since I've seen it. Is it three? I would
or
be
is
shocked.
It 2.5? I think it's it at least is 2 acts, possibly.
Yeah.
So I most of the time when I'm walking through there, I'm very grateful that I can kind of just go straight to the drain without having to slalom through the fans for like MJ or Chicago or all the big shows.
Well, speaking of your show, I went to your show. I feel like every day is a year at this point.
I know.
So I think it was last week that I went to.
It was Valentine's Day.
It was Galentine's Day.
Yes.
I've rebranded. I went to your show last week, cried my ass off. Just truly, if asses were made for crying, I just truly lost it. I thought your performance was so incredible. It was genuinely fearless and brave and astounding, and was thinking in my brain while watching it, I need to get Joe Tapper on Andy's Girls. Because I do actually think that there's a through line, not just in what your play covers, but in just the vulnerability shared, which is, I think, in many ways connected to what we do here on Andy's Girls, which is like having hopefully meaningful conversations that people find valuable, talking about housewives, but also talking about what brought us to this thing.
Yeah.
Can you tell the AGs a little bit about The White Chip?
Yeah. So The White Chip is an autobiographical play written by Sean Daniels, who's a wonderful man. And it's a story about his life, obviously, which is, he was very kind of up and coming as a young director, and he was working all over the country, and he was like very successful, and he got a great job as kind of, I believe something like, I'm not 100%, but something like an associate artistic director.
Yeah.
But a nice mm-hmm. high level position at an unnamed theater in Louisville, Kentucky, but a big one, if you can Google and you'll figure it out, but I didn't say anything, but an unnamed theater in Kentucky. And, you know, his goal is to, you know, eventually one day take, you know, become artistic director, which is the head of that mm-hmm. theater for those of us who don't know. And he kind of gets the job. His mentor is going to leave, and they kind of give him the interim position and promote him, and all this stuff is so beautiful. And he's and I've heard from people who knew Sean back then that that he was just so charismatic and so compelling, and you know, people who saw him at conferences and things like that, and just so affable. You know, just people just mm-hmm. wanted to, you know, kind of be around him. He's kind of like glue. And But behind the scenes, he was horribly struggling with alcoholism, with addiction. And in our play, it's just that addiction, that alcoholism, and it really like took over his life, and everything crumbled. And then, you know, in an effort to make it not sound like very depressing. It also shows how he recovers from everything and how he. Ooh.
Oh my God, my phone! Can you believe I'm such a not professional? Okay, got
you
it.
Know what? Wait, hold on. Oh, my phone's in the other room. Woohoo! But then it shows just how he recovers from his process of recovery, and as much as it's about alcoholism and addiction, it's also about family, which I really really love about that show. Like as a parent myself, it's just so much about family and parenthood and life, and that, like, you know, it really amplifies the message that addiction isn't weakness, and that there is no shame in recovery or support or help. And I think in our society, you know, I I'll say in one second, you know, in our society, we are so programmed, you know, if you have an issue that it's like you're, you know, an addiction issue, that it's that you're moral failing and that you're not just like tough enough to just kind of handle yourself. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I became involved with this show, back in 2019, my dear friend, Christopher Oscar Pena, who is an incredible playwright and film and TV writer, he reached out to me because they were doing the original off-Broadway production, which we did back in 2019 mm-hmm. at 59th East 59th Street Theaters. He said that they, you know, he'd seen a couple of readings of this and the project had been around regionally and they were bringing it in, and that they were, you know, the director, playwright, producer were really kind of dabbling with the idea that they wanted to possibly have an actor, a recovering alcoholic mm-hmm. play the role of Steven, mm-hmm. which is the Sean role. And I'm very loud about, I'm very open and loud about my sobriety. Hey, I'm sober. You know, it's like one of the first things I say when I meet people, I guess. And, you know, I read the play and I felt, you know, very compelled to kind of do whatever I could to get an audition for it. I actually had a job at that time, which is a fluke. I had a job. I was going to go do a chorus line.
Oh, my God.
I was going to go play the director.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I was, you know, terrified and excited for the challenge. And Anna Lee was definitely excited for me to... but yeah, I was like, I called my manager and my agent and I was like, I think this is going to maybe be kind of a, you know, a wrench, but yeah. We got to figure this out. I got to try. And, the dominoes fell in my direction, or the scales tipped. So then I got to do it, and I've been with it for a while. And you know, I mean 2019 to 2024, I mean, that's a bachelor's degree plus, so we've all lived a lot of life.
Yeah, it's a Marymount Five.
Yeah.
it really is.
It's a Marymount Five. Yeah, and I would say, like, even for me as a recovering alcoholic, back when I was just in the trenches of alcoholism, and I mean, I would always, fell over.
Adding to the drama.
I would always black out. I would just, and people would say, oh, you can't hold your liquor. Oh, you can't handle, you know, all those things, which I don't blame people for saying that for. That's what we're programmed. Thank you. What we're programmed to say, you know, like, what's wrong with our Uncle Max? Why does Uncle Max get so drunk? Well, I mean, Uncle Max has a, a disease.
Yeah.
The treatment is so different, right? Yeah. It's a, you know, you just gotta, you know, it's tricky. It's a tricky thing, but I really, it is a great honor to be involved in this piece. Yeah.
So how does that feel for you to be someone in recovery and sort of inhabiting this role of someone who at many points in the show is fighting against it? Like, what's that process like for you to navigate it and do so in a way that feels like disconnected from you and your experiences, but extremely connected in the moment in order to do your job?
Yeah. It feels very healing, to be honest. Like, you know, in AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12th step is the only way that you keep sobriety is by giving it away.
Oh, wow.
And I really feel like just nightly I get to do that. Every night I get to go and kind of give that message away, mm-hmm. and therefore I get to keep it, you know. So the play heals, the character repairs, the character heals at the end of the show every night. So I get to heal with it, which I think is really important to acknowledge and mm-hmm. appreciate, because I do end the show, and I, you know, yeah, it can be tiring, but I'm not like left in the doldrums of depression that way. Like I, because the character heals, I heal with it. This is truly like, it's a rare moment where like this thing that I love doing, this acting, right? This craft that I love to do that I really feel like I get to do, mm-hmm. like I get to do it, especially after the world turned upside down and they turned off the lights. Mm. I get to do this, you know, I get to do this play, and and it's an act of service for me. It's like that collision that they intersect there. It is meaningful for me, and I get to do it. So it's a great honor. It's a great honor to get to do this nightly.
So speaking of great honors, how did your journey to all things Bravo begin?
I mean, Bravo, I started watching Bravo back, you know, wouldn't it be 21 years ago with there's Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Sure, of course.
And then Top Chef.
Yep.
And when I was in grad school, we would have meetups and watch Top Chef every week at night. What was it back then? The thing that you could record TV. What was that? That device. It was a
DDR?
Box. No.
TiVo?
TiVo.
Oh, God.
One of my classmates had TiVo, and we would watch Top Chef, like, because we were never free at 8 o'clock on Thursday.
Sure.
But yeah, we would watch Top Chef. I remember that first season, like, so clearly that first season of Top Chef and those first seasons of Queer Eye. And I remember, like, I remember maybe it was Kai who was, like, teaching one of the dudes to, like, about skincare. And he was like, you know, the guy was putting the facial cleanser on his hands, and he's like, hey, don't wash your hands. Wash your face. Wash your face. You're not washing your hands. You're washing your face.
That's incredible. That's literally
incredible.
I've
always thought of that. I'm like, Joe, wash your face. You're not washing your hands.
Did you ever watch The It Factor?
Oh my God, yes.
No one talks about it, but that was a moment in time. That was must-see TV for me.
I mean, you know, the It Factor, I in the season two, Jeremy Renner was one of those characters.
I remember Jeremy Renner. I remember Godfrey. I remember
Godfrey?
A woman. Who
Godfrey was
like
season one.
Season, oh yeah, I don't remember the season.
Yeah.
But there was also a woman who was like a comedian maybe. I feel like I've seen her and stuff. But yeah, Jeremy Renner was it was about sort of struggling up and coming actors who seemingly have the it factor and like fighting to be seen, be booked, be cast. And Jeremy Renner was like one of the guys.
I remember he was grappling between two jobs. And one of those jobs was the movie with Colin Farrell, I believe.
It was like wasn't it Samuel L. Jackson? It was like a
cops
or something. And it was a terrible movie.
SWAT.
And he was choosing between that and some like artistic thing, but I don't even remember what the artistic thing was.
Or it was a TV show or something. Who
knows?
Oh,
maybe. It was something. And he was like, oh God, but I should do the commercial. And I think he go with the commercial
thing? He did SWAT. He was in SWAT. He was great. And he was great.
Oh, was he? Okay.
I mean, you know, the movie wasn't great, but I mean, but
that's not the point of it.
Right. Yeah.
He was seen. He was one step closer.
Yes. But that was the It Factor season two, which was L.A.
Yeah.
And It Factor season one was New York.
Do you remember the episode where it was, and I think it was an actor, you might remember this better than I can almost guarantee it, but it was an actor, she was like looking out onto the skyline of New York, and she had just gotten booked or a callback or something, and the date, if I remember correctly, and I haven't seen this since whenever I first watched it, but the date was September 10th, 2001.
Yes.
And she was just looking out onto the skyline, and they captured that. I mean, it was just standing on a roof in New York. I mean, it's completely, it's just wild.
Yeah. Oh, God. It is so crazy.
It really is. That was sort of Bravo during its genuine, literal, not docudrama, but docuseries era and inside the actor's studio. And then to see that evolve into what it's become now has been really, honestly, a journey.
I remember one time, like maybe in 2008 or 2007 or 2008, I'm a big St. Louis Cardinals fan. I'm from Illinois. I'm from actually north of Chicago, but I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan, which doesn't really add up.
Okay.
But my family's from there from, you know, generations before I was ever even a thought or born. But I'm a big fan of that team, and I would fly to St. Louis to watch games.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, this guy who had just, you know, I knew him because he'd hosted the Top Chef reunions and stuff like that, was on the flight too. And we were kind of looking at each other, and I was giving him that, like, I recognize you, you're famous kind of look. And while we were waiting in the bathroom on the plane, I said, hey, I watched your show. I'm really happy that you're finally getting kind of your own show that's like your nightly show. And he's like, yeah, I'm excited. He was like really nice. And it was
Andy Cohen.
It was Andy Cohen, because he's a big Cardinals fan too. And he's from St. Louis. Yeah, he's from St. Louis. So it just happened, you know, way back whenever that show started, I remember getting to have this like little interaction with him. And I've met him a couple of times since then, and I've never brought that up.
Oh, you should. I bet he would love it, yeah. Honestly.
That's one of my favorite things whenever Annalie's been on Watch What Happens Live. I go and I take pictures of, like, he has, like, fun St. Louis Cardinal memorabilia on the set. So I always, like, I think that's fun.
Have you ever bartended?
As a thing?
Yeah.
No.
Not in real life, but just in the position of being on being a guest on Watch What Happens.
In real life, yes.
Okay.
I have never bartended. We were thinking, there was a possibility that I think Annalie's going to go on sometime soon. I don't know if.
Oh, good. Because she was on during, but it was like Zoom during COVID. And then she was on, but I forget what.
Yeah, she was on
2 times
in the studio.
Okay, right.
But one time was with Heather Dubrow when she was coming back.
Jesus. Was Terry in the audience?
Yes, I sat right next to him. I have pictures. We talked.
Love that.
It was great. It was great. And we were talking about a famous St. Louis Cardinal player who was all used to be tangentially on, I believe, OC. And
Jim Edmonds.
I you said that.
Yeah.
And anyways, he was like, oh, this guy's so great. He's such a great guy. He loves being married.
Vicky Gumbelson is hearing this conversation somewhere with a cackle laughing her ass off.
So I got to sit next to Terry. That was a thrill. I mean, I was so thrilled that I was there. And then the next time I got to go was just last year. And it was, I can't believe I'm Kristen and Annalie. Kristen from Vanderpump.
Oh, Kristen Doty.
Yeah, Kristen Doty.
Was that during Scandoval? Was that like after the news? It had to have been.
It was.
No disrespect to Kristen.
Right
but...
as it was going on.
Right.
Right as it was kind of crumbling and crackling and Scandaval.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So now she's going to do it. This got us here, but now she's going to do it again at some point, I think with maybe some Summer House people. But, and there was an idea of like pitching me to be the bartender, but it didn't work out. I'm not going to be the bartender
for this episode.
For this episode,
I
would love to. Yeah.
Does Andy know that you're a Bravo fan?
I don't know if he knows. I don't know.
We should figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, I am. There's no doubt about it.
So, when you think about Bravo and specifically Housewives, what was your introduction to all things in the Housewives universe?
I think it was OC. We were watching OC, and then. You know, it's funny like how the shows kind of play in the background and then they become like major focuses.
Yeah.
they become the focal point after being in the background. So OC, and I was like, what are you watching? Why are you watching this? And then of course, like, I'm like, did you record it? Don't watch it without me. So OC was first and then New York.
Oh, yeah.
And then New York's always like, what is this New York? I don't know this New York.
I mean, we're recording on the Upper East Side, but I also do not know this New York. I walk by it on occasion, but yes.
New York, and then Atlanta. I watched a lot of Atlanta for a while. I haven't watched it in a long time. Atlanta's one of the ones that kind of like maybe my schedules and stuff. The ones I focus on are the ones I don't watch more. You know, like the ones I'm like, why don't I watch that one? Like we just started watching Miami a little bit.
Did you start with the original? You started with the reboot, which is fine.
Oh, there's a reboot. I didn't even know that.
Wait,
there's the
Which season did you start with?
Just the one that's happening right now where like Scottie Pippen's ex-wife is like with Michael Jordan's son.
Right. So that's, So Larsa's an OG of Miami. So Miami started however many years ago. They had, I think, 3 sometimes meandering seasons.
Yeah.
Season 1 is tough to watch, but you appreciate the trajectory of the show once you've gotten through season 1, couple seasons. Then it was on hiatus. It was over. Canceled over on hiatus, quote unquote, for 9 years, and then they brought it back.
Oh,
so I
whoa.
Think now I'm getting the numbers mixed up in my head. We're recording this in the morning. I think it's maybe on its 3rd season of the reboot. Might be 4th. So some of these people we know, Alexia, we know, Marisol, we know, Larsa, we know from the original iteration of the show. They carried over into the new one.
And neither of us have ever been to Miami, so it's kind
of... Oh my God.
Yeah, we need... That's like one of the cities we need to go to.
Oh, you have to go to Miami.
I've heard it's incredible. Jersey. I mean, Jersey was a big one.
Where do you stand, Teresa V. Melis? Where do you find yourself? Are you a tree hugger? Are you a Gorgita crunch? Are you a voyeur?
I think I'm kind of Melissa.
Yeah.
I think I'm kind of, I think it sounds reasonable. Like, it just doesn't seem old. But also, like, with tree, like, I also don't know, like, how malicious it is. It just kind of seems almost kind of accidental.
Really?
I don't know. Like, it just seems like when she's like, I didn't mean it that way. Or, you know, whenever she says like, well, I didn't mean it that way. Or that wasn't my intention. I'm kind of like, okay, maybe it wasn't. Most people I'd be like, it was. You are a malicious person. But I don't know. Like, I feel like she signed those things because he was like, sign them.
Oh, yeah. That part, 100%.
Like, yeah. You know, like, but yeah, Melissa and, oh, it's so sad, right? Like, you know, it's like we only get, you know, we only get one family. And what's going on with what's her new husband's name? He's wild.
He's got some stuff. I feel like she's going to need some support in the next couple of years, if not now. And the difficulty, but also I guess the potential is if a family, you know, your family, but also you are yourself a whole complete person. And if this situation is bringing you so much toxicity, stress, frustration, you have to disconnect. It's not to say that in the future you might find your way back to each other. And people always reference their parents and your parents would want you to be together. But I also think their parents wouldn't want them at war.
No.
And if the only way to have peace right now is to have complete separation, even though LOL, they're like filming the same show together, albeit not while engaging with each other.
Yeah.
Then I think that's the way to go. When Dolores said they should not speak, they should live their own lives, I was like, you cannot cross Dolores in this.
No.
Like, Dolores, I think, is the ultimate kind of person there who really, really can speak truth to what's going on.
I love her.
Yeah.
I love her so much.
Yeah, she's a top five. I don't know if she's in my top five, but she's definitely a top five housewife.
Yeah.
I think she is in my top five, actually.
I never thought about who my top fives are. There's some that's like full, there's none of them would be in my top five. But some shows, it's like maybe two of them are in my top five, maybe, if I had to think about it.
If you had to think of like just who comes to mind, and your top five can be, I mean, I've had people on who talk about their top fives where it's like the top five people that I love to watch, or the top five people that I just genuinely love, or the top five people who I might personally hate, but I love to watch on this show. It can be whatever you want. Like, I've had people repeatedly who are like, I don't want to fuck with Ramona IRL, but like she's in my top five because she's a top tier housewife. Like, you know, it can really go in any direction you get to choose.
I don't know if this person's in my top five, but I really want to give like real thought to this. But one thing I really love is that the way that the Countess always diffuses like a problem with me. Like, let me just make. Can we make some eggs? Can I? Let me make you sit down and eat these eggs, and just I'll cook for you, and just like let's all. I love that.
She knows how to diffuse a situation, but also absolutely magnify one. She has that kind of skill.
And also, I think it's fair to say, like, they all kind of change. Like, the way I feel about them always changes over several years. Like, of course, everything is escaping. Like, there's characters in the OC characters. Oh my God.
I know. I love that.
Sorry.
I love that.
People in the OC. You're human beings. You're human.
Yes.
You live, you breathe. There's people in the OC that I was like, I can't handle any of these people. Mm. And now like a couple of them like, oh, like you're amazing. You know, like good for you. So a lot of housewives, and then Vanderpump came into my life, and then that opened us, like, we're fully into like that, the houses and the rules. We haven't really gotten into Southern hospitality yet, but I could see that happening, maybe, you know, in the same way that, like, I don't want to count it out because I was like, I'll never watch Vanderpump Rules.
And here you are.
And here.
This is how you find yourself.
Yeah, because it's like Vanderpump Rules, Southern Charm, and the houses. Like, If we were in our apartments, if we were in our apartment when the show was live, it would be appointment television. As are all of them.
Yeah.
But you know, most of them are always recorded because, you know, we're always
life happens.
Yeah. And we're, you know, at, from 8 o'clock till 10
right.
o'clock, we're out.
Oh my God. So you would have to like stay off all of, well, I mean, you're quite literally performing during that time, but just stay off of social, no spoilers. Because God forbid, that's the worst thing.
It is.
Literally, when the memes come out, then I'm like, well, I am fucked.
Yes. I stay off social media.
Yeah, smart.
I tell my mom, my mother-in-law, we didn't watch it. Don't tell
us. Do they both watch?
Oh yeah.
So is this something that like brings the family together?
I think so.
Are you on? Is there a text thread? Is it like mom, mother-in-law, there has wife, a, you?
We should have that.
You should.
They're just like kind of all separate things.
Okay.
But yeah, we should. Yeah. But we're kind of right now, we're like really into, you know, kind of like, you know, what, episode 3 of Vanderpump Rules has just happened. And, you know, Summer House is about to start. So this is a very exciting time. I mean, what Utah just wrapped up, or Salt Lake, which is fun.
And also your show is a little Salt Lake City coded, because there is conversation
of
about
Mormonism.
All things Mormon.
Yeah.
Which is, I was thinking about Heather Gay during this. I was thinking Heather Gay would really appreciate this show.
Yes, yes. And I that's my favorite thing about the show. Not to be a spoiler for anybody who sees it, but I love that, like, the character... Sean in real life, but the character Steven, which is Sean, you know, says like, yeah, maybe I can't do organized religion, but like, I'm not spiritual-less, you know, like he's evolved to a place where, you know, even though science and those things help square his brain, but like he's, you know, he believes in the universe, you know, like I really love that. Like, these things can all exist. All can be true.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jill Zarin and your life and mine. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/AndysGirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/AndysGirls. Sign up today.
Right. People say like, my New Year's resolution is yes and, right? Instead of but. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I really love that about the end of that play. It's like, yeah, and, right? This thing and this other thing. And one doesn't mean the other one isn't, doesn't have value.
Well, it's sort of the difference between organized religion and faith. And you can
have both.
I think for Heather especially, because there's so much culture associated and community that she lost after leaving the Church of Latter-day Saints. I think for her, we've seen a little bit of a struggle with navigating sort of where is my just faith? And that can be faith in a higher power. That can be faith in people. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of specific to what that person is experiencing at that point, but it's certainly interesting to watch and see play out.
Whoa, I know. And like, oh gosh, that was such a crazy end. I mean, that was like also like a crazy, I got a lot of texts at the end of
the finale episode. Was that's one for the book.
I mean,
I could watch that over and over and over again.
Watch television.
We'll never get that again.
I was talking about it at Barry's with the instructors.
I love that.
like I was sitting on the side and I was like, you're talking about Salt Lake City. And they're like, yes.
It is the thing that brings everyone together, which I love, because I do think that the Bravo community, it's a language that many of us are fluent in or at the least speak and love speaking. And it's a shorthand. It's it's a way to connect with people very quickly on topics that can be otherwise really sensitive to discuss. And I think about that with what's happening in Beverly Hills right now and with Kyle's journey,
her
sort of rediscovery of who she is inside of her marriage, a potential future without it. I think of it in her decision to stop drinking and to focus on herself and her own independence without alcohol. Yeah. And I'm curious for your thoughts on how this has been discussed on the show. There's been a lot of cast members who have been bringing it up in ways that might not be the most sensitive.
No.
What's your reaction to that?
I think it's kind of really like, was it Dorit that's like, come on, Kyle. Like maybe in a, I don't know, maybe it was her. I think
it was several people.
Yeah, but like in their testimonials, kind of being like, how long are you going to do this? And it's, I mean, she's like truly like, there's not like she's living her best life. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't you think? I mean, she seems so clear. And all that. I mean, I don't know her. I did run into her once.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Well, a couple of times, but one time. Last summer, we were at a wedding up in Colorado. That's where my wife is from. And we were in Colorado up in like Lauren Boebert's district.
Oh, wow.
Like way in there. And while we were up there at this wedding, we were like, well, we're like an hour away from Aspen. Never been. Let's go. So we drove to Aspen and spent like the night there. And we were at this really amazing like Mexican restaurant.
Oh, great.
And there was Kyle and Mo.
Whoa.
With their family. And she kept looking at me and smiling at me. And I was like, nope, I'm not whoever you think I am.
Oh, my
I'm
God.
Not that person. You don't know me. But she kept like, she even, I remember at one point, you know, because I freak out about the Bravo-verse more than I do. Like
100%.
Actors or musicians or for the most part.
Yeah, yeah.
And when, so I was like, oh my God, Annalyn, she's looking at me. She's pointing at me. She's pointing at me. Now she's referencing Mo, you know, like, and then I, you know, we, you know, kind of like acknowledged each other as we left and they were sitting down, but it kind of like elapsed. It went through some time. It was expanded over 15 minutes of like, do we know that person? Who is that
and
person?
And you never went over?
No, I never went over.
Because you didn't want to like intrude.
It was a
moment?
They were having a big family.
Oh, it was like all the kids, but then like the kids,
I think
friends
so.
And
yeah,
stuff.
And cowboy hats, you know, because everybody,
oh, yeah,
everybody,
she's a cowboy.
Everybody dresses
she
up in their Aspen chic,
right?
Cowboy chic.
Yeah, the hat costs $600.
Those hats are
really expensive
from that place. We went to that place.
Did you?
And it's crazy.
No, Kemosabe?
Yes. and they're beautiful hats, and they, and it's like, you know, they're gonna, they're, it's gonna be fitted to you, it's gonna be steamed, it's gonna be customized and all that, and it's all, and they're Stetsons, which means, you know, they
it's a real deal.
Yeah, I mean, you can leave your Stetson to your great grandchild. I mean, that's real. But yeah, they're $2,000 or something.
Insane. Yeah, it's nuts. I think Kyle showed us, wasn't there one that she showed us with like fur? No, it had diamonds on it.
Yeah.
It was like thousands of, it had diamonds. Yeah. What a waste of a diamond, by the way, to put it on a cowboy hat.
But it is funny.
Apologies
to, like,
to cowboy hats, yeah. They're fabulous, but like,
yeah.
Leave the, put the diamond on a ring.
I know. It's funny to see all the, you know, all the people kind of walking around in their like costumes.
It's cosplay.
Not that she, you know, but.
No, but it is a little cosplay. Rich person, yeah. Cowboy.
Yeah, cosplay.
Couture.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yellowstone. Look at us. We're doing Yellowstone.
It truly is that moment. And the, I wonder how this is all going to be kind of unpacked on the reunion when it comes to Kyle, because she's certainly expressed a level of frustration with how the cast has talked about her decision to stop drinking.
I don't know how much that's connected to all of the other things going on in her existence right now. Mm-hmm. I wonder if like they just think it's like frivolous, or, you know, it's just temporary, or, and that's, I mean, you know, the way that I've come to think about this, and I try to say it to my son, you know, like that's not our business. That's not our problem to worry about that. That's them. That's, you know, because with parenting, right? You know, your kids have friends, and yeah, but my best friend gets to watch this movie,
like, yeah.
or gets to play this video game, and it's like, well, that's them. That's their thing, and then this is our thing, and that's how that goes. And I wish that it could be a little bit more like that with Kyle, but I don't know how much all of that is kind of connected with, you know, all the other stuff that the tattoos and the, you know, what is it that Dorit said? It was like, you don't tell me anything anymore.
Yeah.
Do I need to tattoo your name on my body for you to tell me something? Which is, woo, shots fired.
Yeah, truly.
And, you know, I've heard some rumblings about that.
What do you mean?
Kyle and I've
oh, a Morgan.
Yeah.
I think you meant about their Kyle and Dorit's friendship. I was
but Kyle and Morgan.
Yeah, I think the reunion is going to be fascinating. Yeah. And it does also lead into this larger conversation about the ways that alcohol has been used on different franchises on New York. Honestly, like the original cast is like a plot device at points.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the difficulties around the original franchise, was that because it was based in like binge drinking as the environment, you were watching people attempt to do their jobs thinking that that was a part of their job, or using their job as a way to block conversation about this thing that they were doing. What's your reaction in watching some of that?
It always is kind of a bummer to like be like, oh, like it's like, oh, to loosen up, or, you know, like I always like wonder like what the behind the scenes are, you know, oh, loosen up, become your, you know, be able to have that lubricant to say or do what the thing you wouldn't do when you were, you know, sober. Something that happened during episode 3 of Vanderpump recently was really amazing. I loved when Schwartz was like, I'm sober curious and I brought this thing for you, Lala, and you know, blah blah blah, and Lala was like, sober curious, California sober, all these expressions, and what did she say, like, I don't recognize them, but you know, you do you. Mm-hmm. Which is so interesting, right? Like, I will say something that I grapple with as a sober person watching, like a fully sober person watching the Bravoverse, you know, and all, like, there's so many people that are like dabbling with sobriety, but there's all these like levels of sobriety, right? Like I still smoke pot, or I still eat marijuana, or you know, all those things. And I can't, you know, that's not an option for me. If I, you know, I always say as a joke, like, I wish I could, but that's not possible. My sponsor once said, it's actually impossible to be high and sober at the same time, which is a funny thing, but truly, like, you do you, you know, if you think that can happen, I think that's great. You know, if alcohol was the thing that you know, and you can have these other things, you know, the gummies or whatever. She said, you do you. I was like, oh, okay. All right, Lala. That's really good for you. Like, that's evolved. That's more evolved than I've been. I think I've had some resentments in my sober life for like, man, I can't do that. Like, I can't be on Summer House and say that I'm sober, but then also like high.
Yeah.
You know, like that's like an oxymoron.
I think it's also, I mean, certainly some people have different ways of defining their own sobriety,
yeah.
But it's also for many of us as a viewer, sometimes conflating not drinking with being sober, which to my understanding are two different worlds, because sobriety encompasses not drinking, but also a lot of other elements of recovery that potentially a person, you know, it's like a housewife goes out to dinner twice and doesn't order a cocktail and will say, I'm dabbling with sobriety or I'm sober right now. And it's like, well, the use of right now is important, number one, but also this phrase is larger than the way that you're using it.
That's
and
right.
I wonder about the effect of that, of sort of not, it's not intending to minimize this thing, but it's maybe sometimes not a full use of the word.
I
or truer understanding.
I agree. You know, and then also like I'm trying to be open to the fact that like there's medicinal purposes to these to marijuana that like I like whatever that medicinal that's just not an option for me. So it's tricky. It's so tricky. It's so, I have to say personally, I have to really work on my resentments towards that. Like, cause I am so happy that Carl doesn't drink. Like that just was not working for him.
Yeah.
But then I'm also like, but Carl, you say you're sober, but they were just saying you were smoking pot, you know, like, yeah.
Why don't I remember this?
Don't you remember?
I remember, obviously, his decision. I thought his whole thing was that he wasn't, quote unquote, California sober.
Well, all right. So
but
that
I'm completely forgetting. That one, I know I am.
That one, wasn't it? Didn't, oh, goodness. She makes the cookies and she's amazing. She makes
Maya?
Maya.
Yeah.
Didn't she like get in an impasse with Carl's ex-fiance because she like saw a text that's like come smoke pot with me.
Oh, okay. I'm losing the plot a little bit on Summer. Sometimes
this is like during
kind of goes through me.
And I think like Carl said one time like I'm not an asshole when I don't drink if I don't drink I'm not an asshole or I'm not like a mean person. He said something like that.
Okay.
I thought it seemed like he was saying at that point whenever that was filmed that he was like still
there might have been he might have taken a journey which began with like not drinking but still doing certain things. I don't think he does consume. I'm not great. I'm not entirely sure. I think that might have been something
that was at that time.
That it was at that time.
I mean, that happens a lot.
Yeah, I don't think he. If he was at some point, I do not believe that he is. And a big part of that, and a part of the upcoming tension with Lindsay is that apparently at some point during one of their arguments, maybe more than one, she references raising questions about whether or not he is at that point currently sober. And that for him was like the line you can never cross, let alone from his fiance, like just an unbelievably upsetting point for him. So I think that has an impact, but I don't know about like pot stuff. I really don't. And that's in no way me questioning anything. I'm just talking about what actually happened. Oh, okay. So it does look like, I just did a little Google. So per 2023, it does look like at one point he dabbled in being quote unquote California sober and did not continue that path, being sober without including other substances, is what you would say. And that, I think, has been an incredible journey to watch.
To watch him go through. It's been amazing.
Yeah, and it's also been kind of tough to see, because Lindsay had been for a long time an important support system for him as a friend, then as a girlfriend, a partner. And then to watch her drinking and getting into some of the behavior associated with that.
Yeah.
Has been a difficult, that's been a difficult thing to watch.
Watching him get sober, you know, and really go is really, 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 really inspiring, as has been Lala. Watching her get sober has been really, really inspiring too. I love that we're able to, I always say, if only there were a device that could tell us this information, if that were only at our fingertips, and look at that, it is. It's been really inspiring to like watch that actual physical transformation, you know, and I mean, that's like the tricky thing. Like, I think like other members of Summer House, other male members of Summer House. I'm like, if you watch yourself and you see how your voice changes and your face changes and your behavior changes, and maybe it's not like as antagonistical as it has been in the past or something like that, but like, never do this again. Like, this is not working for you. Like, it's like, it's yucky to watch, like, it's yucky to watch, like, the face melt and, like, the voice change. And it happens, like, so quickly, the more and older and, you know what I mean, that they get, and more they drink. And it's, like, we can hear it. Like, we can hear, you know, and, you know, fortunately, like, that and it used to be so kind of creepy and antagonistical, and it's not as much anymore. I think I'm being very coded in who I'm implying.
Well, I think it's tough when you're on a show, when you come to a show or you're a part of creating a show where binge drinking is like at the core of the drama. Like, we talked a little bit about, you know, OG New York, but Vanderpump Rules certainly, totally. Summer House certainly, let alone if you, I don't know, you know, own an alcohol business. Like that can be, add to it too, of like how
your branding, right?
Right. And it's your marketing. You're thinking, I'm doing my job, or showing you not necessarily what fun looks like, but what successful drama looks like, because I'm doing what production wants me to do, what the network wants me to do, what my maybe collaborators want me to do, and what I want to do. And some of that might be the reason that I'm, you know, drinking to excess, because you feel like it's a part of your job description, or you've decided that that's at the core of it.
And constantly renewed, right? It's like never, a main character. a main person. I love that, Carl. That's one of my favorites. Like, I'm going to bed. I'm just the same way. I'm like, I'm going to sleep. I'm going to bed. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to clean and I'm going to go exercise. And my day, I'm going to have like 5 hours of a day before anybody wakes up. I love that. That's like, that was such a great thing when I got sober. I was like, oh my gosh, I have a whole day before I'd even wake up.
Yeah.
You know, like I've lived six hours before 11.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think about, you know, Kyle going on vacation and she's up at like 6 a.m. working out in the gym. And I think of what I just keep thinking about Kyle, because we're nearing the end of the season of Beverly Hills, and there's so much that we have experienced with Kyle and her family and talking about alcohol addiction and what she has experienced by being a sister, at points a caregiver for Kim.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on a point that has been referenced many, many times, which was the end of Beverly Hills season one, that scene in the limo where Kyle and Kim are going at it. It's seemingly decades of anger that's been buried that then comes to the surface. And Kyle, in that moment, saying the thing that she probably has not ever said out loud in real life to her sister, that she's now saying in front of a camera crew, of like, well, you're an alcoholic.
Yeah. Oh boy, that is so right. I mean, because to be called that on national television has got to be very intense. And I can't quite remember Kim's state at that time, but if she was I mean, it's just, it's all that, like, it's shame, it's embarrassment, it's all those things wrapped up into one. And I, you know, in those moments, like, even though it's rooted in sincerity and concern and all that, it's like, maybe this is just like not the moment for this, but it was great television.
It was, but I also wonder, because I've heard from so many people who reference that moment when talking about Kyle and her decision to seemingly shame her sister yeah. on camera. Like, this is the way that I am going to, it may not have been her intent, but it was the impact. And I think a lot yeah. of people litigate
that's right.
her intent.
I think that's right. That I agree with that. I don't think it was her intent. It's just like, we don't know how to like navigate these situations as a society. Like yeah. what's right, what's not right, right? There was a show called Intervention, right? Yeah. You know? And, you know, John Mulaney just did an incredible comedy
yes.
tour about his intervention, you yeah. know, and how we all deal with those things. And yeah, it's just the shame, the moral failing, you know. And what I love about the whole thing with, or what I love that a narrative that I love being amplified by this with Kyle and Kim, is that this is a hereditary disease. Mm. You know, like, my dad died of alcoholism.
I'm so sorry.
My other uncle he's not doing great. Other family members in my bloodline. Is it because we're just like the tappers are weak? No, this is a disease. It's a hereditary disease. It doesn't affect everybody. God, please, if you're listening, please don't give this to my son. But, you know, like, it's like my wife has celiac disease.
Yeah.
My mom has celiac disease. Oh, my son has celiac disease. You know, but I don't have celiac disease. Like, they're. I'm being a little reductive with you know, like, that is a false equivocation, but this is a disease, and it is a disease that will ravage a family. I mean, it will get there, and I always say to my boy, I say, you know, I have an allergy. I have an allergy to alcohol. I that's why you never see me drink it. It makes me sick, and that's not untrue. Like, I always say, like, when Annalie and I are out having a meal or something, and she orders a cocktail that is really expensive, and she like drinks a couple sips of it, and then she's like done. I'm like, well, congratulations. You are not an alcoholic, because there is no way that like I could ever, like, it has to be gone, you know, and then we have to think about the next thing. But yeah, that, like, with like that, and then their mom also, right? Their mom had a issue. It was their mom, right?
I don't know.
Was it, what did they talk about that in the last episode about the mom?
Big Kathy? I don't.
No. Their mom, right?
Kyle and Kim's?
Yeah.
Their mom's name was also Kathy.
Oh, it was?
So
oh,
it was Big Kathy.
Big Kathy.
We don't really get into. Although, actually, one of my very good friends, one of my best friends from Rhode Island, it only occurred to me after many, many years because of the nickname that she's named after her mom and her brother's named after his dad. But because of the nickname, it really, truly, after many years, I was like, oh, you know what? I think they have the same name, which I think is honestly fabulous. But yeah, so I think.
Wasn't that like their, go ahead, I'm sorry. I interrupted.
Well, no, just to say, I don't know. I know that there's a book about their family that I haven't read, but I think. Whatever is going on with their experiences with like guilt and shame and secrecy is generational.
Yeah.
So whatever environment, if it was trying to hide Kim's addiction versus understanding that this can be passed through family members, just some sort of, this became like a group, not really decision, but act of like, we don't talk about this thing.
Yeah.
But also we need to make sure she's cared for.
Yeah.
And so I think for Kyle, there's obviously a lot of probably surely fear, but also anger about the ways that she felt she needed to take care of her sister and not be able to address this thing that nobody talks about. And the flip side of that, I think, for Kim is that Kim was in a caregiver role for her family, was like the breadwinner for her family very early on, and seemingly more than likely was not in an environment where she could share how she was feeling, let alone what she was experiencing. And I think both of them, you could make an incredibly valid argument, both, and also who knows what was going on with Kathy at that point, who's a little older, but like the argument of both of these people were raised not to discuss this thing, to have it quote unquote taken care of, to laugh around it, to figure out ways to support each other that also included some element of frustration about being in that role. And I think you could look at their childhoods and be like, both of these people were probably adulting well before they should have been.
Yes.
And that has just then add a couple decades, and now you're on reality TV and you're not talking about this thing, but you know other people might.
Yeah.
It's like, it's, I think that lends itself to having the conversation, surely, about how Kim felt in that moment in the limo.
Ugh.
Kyle taking responsibility for how her actions maybe further exacerbated a really sensitive situation, but also understanding that there were other things happening here.
Yeah. And also, one thing that has kind of been upsetting with the way people are talking about Kyle is like, it may not be working for her anymore. You know, like she just, like, it's like, how do they know? You know, if she doesn't want to drink, that's, you know, that's just like, one of the things that I did before I got sober, I had a really, really amazing friend she's just so incredible and she's so successful and things are going so great in her life. She's this incredible documentary filmmaker. And way back when, like, I mean, shit, like 14 years ago, she, at a wedding, was like, I'm sober, I don't drink. And I was like, I minimized it. And I, you know, you have those tattooed moments where you're like, you know, in your those tattooed memories of like, I like look back at that. I'm like, I just like totally shrugged off her decision. It's like, I'm not, who am I to say what disease she has or doesn't have, or eye roll her decisions? Like, we never do that with other things, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I decided to go to the gym. I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week now. We would never be like, ugh, please, like, stop doing that. Like, but we do that with alcohol. We do that with substances. And it's so perplexing our society's relationship with these things, and or what's the why there. And, you know, yeah, it's all legal too, which is another interesting thing, right?
Yeah, and I think also Bravo has been in somewhat a small amount of a reckoning with how they encourage and facilitate binge drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that has led to incredibly difficult moments. I think of Sonia a lot, just because she just, and obviously Luann's kind of journey, not kind of, but Luann's journey, the way that Dorinda, it always goes back to OG New York.
Oh,
Dorinda's extreme
Dorinda
anger toward
Dorinda.
Bethany, and how she was using, you know, the word, are you drunk versus are you a drunk, you know, and how do you look at my drinking?
It's Dorinda.
Dorinda's tough.
Dorinda's.
But Dorinda, the thing that I don't know if you agree with this, but the thing that I've said about Dorinda is like, yes, is she using alcohol in a way that is at best not healthful for her? Yes. But the thing is, like, I have felt, and please tell me if you feel differently, but I've always felt that like alcohol can release your inhibitions. And with Dorinda, I think there's so much rage, and she uses alcohol as a way to like give herself a permission slip, but the rage is still there. And so until you treat that rage, also, you know, the things that you're using in order to experience and exhibit it, we're not going to really get to the heart of the matter.
Yeah. She made it nice. I think like one of the things, like, to talk about the play, the white chip play, and I think you can see it in what we're doing. Is like the play shows that there's the magic, and then there's the medicine, and then there's the madness, and then for the fortunate, there's the miracle. And I see, like, if you think about it, like, we see those, we see that, we actually see that through Bravo, right? We see people using the magic, right? Ah, like I'm no inhibitions, and I'm doing great, and I'm renewed, and all of my businesses. And then there's the medicines, which we just discussed, right? Like this release, mm-hmm. and then madness. We've definitely seen some substance madness, and then but now, like you said, with this reckoning, we're seeing the miracle, right? We're seeing Carl and that miracle. And we're seeing Lala, like having to go through, like, could you imagine Lala having to go through all those things that she's been going through with motherhood and parenthood and oh, you know, but like she's been able to be present. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is such, what a gift she is giving her family to be present for all of that. You know,
I think that's connected with what Kyle has told the cast too, of like, I cannot drink because there's stuff that I'm experiencing. I cannot add something to this environment, to how I feel, to mourning the loss of her best friend, to trying to figure out her marriage, her future, how she defines herself. She's like, I need to focus on myself, and alcohol limits my ability to do that.
That's right.
And I think that's incredibly clear and understandable for a lot of people.
Yeah. I do love her. I would say without giving much thought of it, I would probably put her in my top five.
She's in my top five. Yeah. And she's been on probation before. She's been in purgatory. She's really fucked up, including this season, including on the after show. But like, I think I'm a Kyle apologist. I'm also a Kyle truth teller. Like, I will drag her to hell, and I have passionately on Andy's girls, but like, I am also a Kyle apologist.
Don't you think that the first year that Lisa was not on the show anymore, that they tried to kind of like the narrative was like she was going to be like the new Lisa?
Yeah, she is not. She's a flop. She's a beta. She's a strong, important, influential beta. But like, Kyle does not carry the light when it comes to alpha energy, and she's probably better off for it.
Yeah, but I felt like that. That was like, this is, that's not her.
That's not her.
No. No.
And now we're seeing this new kind of generation of Kyle and her just kind of independence and search for discovery. And I think the upcoming finale, we haven't yet watched it, but I think it's going to.
It's tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we're recording. What's today?
Today's Tuesday.
It's tomorrow, and it's going to be a journey.
Yeah,
I'm curious for your thoughts after you watch it. Honestly.
Oh yeah, well, let's text.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I'm excited to watch. You know, we got Vanderpump tonight. We got Beverly Hills tomorrow, mm-hmm. And then Thursday. What is Thursday? Is Thursday going to be? Well, Summer House will be on Monday. Isn't Summer House normally on Monday?
Summer House is premiering on Thursday.
Is that
on
right?
A Thursday. Yes.
Because
I was looking at like recording stuff, and I was surprised that it was on a Thursday, but I could be completely wrong.
Because the decks are on Monday.
I don't deck.
I'm not a decker. I used to be a decker.
It's their number one most popular show on Bravo.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
I used to deck. I used to kind of get into mm-hmm. the deck, but it's just like I lost the thread.
Yeah.
And then once you get behind, it's like, oh, it's impossible to catch up.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So yeah, that would make sense, right? Summer House would be on Thursday because Southern Hospitality is also on Thursday.
Yes, which I haven't
either.
But maybe one day.
There's drama.
I heard it's good. I just, when it comes to tertiary kind of shows that are in the universe but not like at the core of Andy's Girls, I just give myself permission not to watch it. Mm-hmm. And also, if I'm not genuinely interested in watching it, I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. Listen, Joe Tapper, you know what is happening? Your incredible show, The White Chip. Where can folks go to get tickets? It's playing now through March 9th.
Yeah. You can get tickets on TodayTix. TodayTix has been a great facilitator. They've like taken over the role of like support. Like we were this, like our show, and then Danny and the Deep Blue Sea was their first show that they fully did. Danny and the Deep Blue Sea, which was at the Lortel with Aubrey Plaza.
Right.
So that was their first show where they did the whole ticket thing, and now our show also. So that's a great honor. Wow, how humbling. So you can get tickets on TodayTix, and then you can also get tickets on the box office, at the box office, because I gotta do a warm up. But with TodayTix, like there is a certain time where you can't get to, like if you wanted to see the show tonight.
Yeah.
And you're you're at, I think like after a certain time, like 5 or 6, you can't get tickets for tonight's show. Mm. It'll block out, but you could come to the box office. And
oh,
get
great.
Them. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But yeah, that's that. We got 3 more weeks. And then as the powers, the higher ups say, more will be revealed.
I was going to ask you. Okay, I'll ask you about that offline. In the meantime, where can AGs follow you on social?
Oh, I only have Instagram. That's my only one.
And I didn't know you were on Instagram. This is so terrible. So I tagged Anna Lee when I went to your show and like fell apart after. And
oh.
I didn't. And then I just found out that you're on IG. I'm so sorry. I tagged you.
I'm very inactive on it. I've been more active now, just kind of like adding stories.
Sure.
You know, whatever, like anybody tags me in something, I just add it to the story. Or
love.
I have to be like I get asked to be a, like we were on Drew Barrymore and Morning Joe.
Oh my God, yes, you were.
Yeah, and they would ask me to be like, you know, like the thing would come on my phone, would say, will you be a co...
Yeah, on the post.
On the post.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
So I've done those, I've added the things to the stories. But other than that, I'm not really active, so please don't blame yourself. But I'm at Joey Taps.
Right.
At Joey Taps.
How was Drew Barrymore, by the way?
Wild.
Yeah?
Wild and amazing.
Because she was
crazy
just like
and amazing.
Straight up next to you, like completely. The energy. She had the closeness.
The closeness.
Is a lot.
And also.
But I believe it's real.
It is real.
Yeah, 100%.
It felt very real.
She's so open.
Yes. And she was amazing.
Yeah.
And they do a really great job of editing that. Like,
oh yeah,
they do like a really incredible job of like because there are points where maybe you thought this while you were listening. I tend to ramble, and
I really didn't.
It was an incredible experience. Not only was it incredible, like wow, look at this, we're on this talk show and we're getting to talk about this like little play that could that we're doing, and also it was Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, I mean Barrymore.
It was Drew Barrymore.
We forget that it's Drew Barrymore.
It's Drew Barrymore.
But Drew Barrymore is, in fact, spoiler alert, Drew Barrymore, and that's an incredible accomplishment.
Yes,
yeah,
and
she's
like,
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
She was talking to Anna Lee about like Broadway shows, and I was like, lest we forget, there's a theater named after her family.
Truly.
You know?
Yeah.
You know,
that's
I think
nuts.
Like, was it
yeah,
like she
incredible.
Talked about You Can't Take It With You, and I was like, her grandpa won an Oscar. Or a great grandpa or whatever. But like Lionel Barrymore.
Yeah. It's incredible.
From a little movie called It's a Wonderful Life, if that's as deep as it goes, you know.
It's,
Mr. Potter.
I mean, it's and to think about legacy,
yeah,
and family,
and
Drew's own journey. It's
yeah,
fascinating.
And she's, it was amazing. It was amazing. There were some things when I think back, I'm like, because I kind of, I know this is like a tricky expression to use since we've been talking about alcoholism so much, but like, I was like blackout, like during these moments.
Out of
I'm
body.
Like, yeah, it's like out,
yeah,
of body.
Out of body.
Like, especially on Morning Joe, and I'm like, oh my God, like I'm sitting here, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But with her, it was that same thing, and that was both on the same day.
That's
And
wild.
Then we had 2 shows. Which one of them you saw?
Oh my God.
Because it was on Valentine's Day.
Crying my goddamn heart out. Listen, before we wrap, I'm just curious, because I know this is a sensitive topic for a lot of people listening to this episode, if you had any just kind of words of advice for someone who might be going through and experiencing some difficulty, or they have a family member or a loved one and they're not sure how to have a conversation, if at all.
Yeah.
Do you have any just kind of parting wisdom?
This is a disease. There is no, you know, addiction is not weakness. This is a disease. It is not a moral failure. There's no shame in support. And this one is the one that I really live by. Don't quit before the miracles happen, because I believe in miracles, and the miracles are true in all ways of all life, not just in recovery or sobriety. Miracles happen. I can tell you, I can prove it to you, because I'm sitting here talking to you right now. Mm-hmm. So don't quit. You know, the miracle could happen, tomorrow, which is Wednesday. So don't quit today.
Yeah.
Because then you won't get to see it. So that's what I say. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. And to borrow from Good Will Hunting from Robin Williams' character, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's not your fault.
Oh my God, that could make me cry. That movie like fucks me up.
Yeah, me too. But remember that it's not your fault. And it isn't.
Yeah.
It isn't your fault. It's generational. It's hereditary. And it is 100% a disease.
Yeah, and the miracle can be hope.
And that's right. And that is one of the great things I love about the play is that there's hope.
Yeah.
There's hope.
You know what, guys? I have hope for you that you join the Andrews Girls Patreon. It's the number one way to support the pod. Get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more at patreon.com/AndysGirls. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Joe Tapper, this was so meaningful
this
for me.
This was the best.
Truly, you're wonderful.
Thank you. You are wonderful.
I mean, and
I was so honored that you asked me to be on this.
Oh my God, a pleasure. Truly.
Did you like how I was like, wait, do you want us both? Or
no,
no just me by myself?
Honestly, I had a conversation with Carl during the Lindsay era, but they were in a, ironically or not, they were participated in a fabulous show with two friends who host with a Page Six for called Reality. And it was a Valentine show about couples. And I was talking to Carl after, and I was like, you should come on Andrew's Girls. I would love to talk to you about your journey with sobriety. And he was like, yeah, I'll come on with Lindsay. And I was like, yeah, or we could just do, because I just think it's an interesting conversation. And
yeah.
You know, Annalise, welcome back anytime.
Yeah, sure.
And I will
sure.
text her or whatever. Yeah. But I'm thankful that that this is the combo that it was.
Yeah. Well, now I have your number, so now I can text
yes,
you.
Yes, truly.
We can be another text Bravo, and it'll be fun.
Honestly, and I'm curious for your thoughts, really both of your thoughts with the finale and whatever we have coming with Kyle.
It's a big
and
one. It's a big one.
It's really true. It is my Roman Empire. Yeah. It's the Kyle Mauricio model. It truly is. And seeing that I will be in Rome next week, that is my miracle.
How many days?
I don't remember. People keep asking me how long the trip is. And I was like, oh, I should have added that up. So I leave Thursday, flying overnight to Paris. I'm in Paris for a couple nights. Then I go to Rome for a couple days, never been to Italy. And then I go back to Paris for a couple days because Paris is like my one true love.
Yeah.
Je t'aime.
We're going to do it again. Paris.
You got to.
We're going to bring Jack. My son is great. He loves.
How old is he now?
He's seven.
Oh,
he loves art.
Four, LOL.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
he's seven. He loves art. And I just want to take him there. Yeah. And I just can't wait. We're not going to be able to do it this year. We had to kind of adapt some plans. But
okay.
But we are going to do it.
Paris will be there.
I can't wait.
Honestly, like, and a year goes by, that's probably better.
Yeah, I want
to
do.
For
I want
to be a little older.
Yeah, I want to do Paris. I want to do London. I want to take him to see a show at the Globe in London. And I want to go to Ireland. Annalise's never been to Ireland. I've only been there for 2 days, and I really want to go back someday.
You know what? I need to go to Ireland. That's on the list.
It's amazing. I can't tell you. It's the feel is.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're. I'm Irish, so.
I'm probably 2%. Sure. Honestly, and that feels like a lot. But
yeah.
Actually, more than that. No, more. My dad said we'll do a genealogy next time.
Great.
On that note, Joe, thanks very much
for
coming on. This was a total thrill.
Yes.
And guys, thanks so much for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.